You're listening to Money Never Sleeps Radio. In your face.
What we got here is a failure to communicate.
Oh, have I got your attention now?
Greed, for lack of a better word, is good.
You know what I mean?
Money to be made in a place like this.
Money never sleeps, pal.
You're crazy. Don't run when you lose. Don't whine when it hurts.
You know what it takes to sell real estate?
It takes brass, 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 brass.
I'm falling, and I can't get up.
All right, welcome to Money Never Sleeps. This is a show where we talk about anything and everything that impacts the flow of money from around the corner to around the world. And, you know, today we're going to be speaking about that and more. We're going to be touching on the crypto space, the digital asset space, because I believe that more people need to be informed, more people need to be educated, more people need to embrace it. Because at the end of the day, and I say this constantly, that blockchain and digital assets, this is the future of finance. There's zero question about that, and I'm going to go more into that in a minute. But I do want to speak about opportunities. It's funny how opportunities do come, and for someone to seize it, they need to want it. They need to understand that there's something greater there for them. Squandered opportunities, these are opportunities that are put in front of someone and basically they dismiss it. They take it for granted. They don't think that they need to do anything about it, right? But it's funny, when someone else seizes the opportunity, then the opportunity becomes more real and more desired. But the opportunity is gone, right? Well, you know what? The opportunity is gone for that person. Opportunities don't get to go to waste. They don't have the opportunity to go to waste, because someone is going to seize it. All that happens is that someone else takes the ones that you miss, and that's all. And they run with it, and they show you what it was all about. You know, most people, from my experience, most people, they dismiss opportunities, certain opportunities, because it requires something. It requires them to do something, and that's work. You would be blown away by the number of people that aren't willing to put the work in, even if it's for their own good, even if it's for their own betterment, because they don't want to put the work in. How do you achieve something without putting the work in? It doesn't make any sense to me, but this is what happens. You know, it's funny how the mindset of some people are, and it consists of opportunities being presented, but being done for them, packaged nicely, and all they need to do is open it. They go to university 4 years, they come out, okay, give me the opportunity because I deserve it. You know, that's nonsense. No one deserves anything. You either you're going to seize an opportunity or you don't. And especially in the world of finance, either you're going to seize it or you don't. Nothing's handed to you, you know, unless you're the cousin or child or sibling of someone that is high up in the company, right? Okay, you know, the reality is that if you want something, you're going to fight for it. And that's the truth. That's the truth of it. Okay, you know, look, throughout the centuries, there were men who took the very first steps down new roads, down new paths. Look at the history books, you'll see it. All they're armed with is nothing but their own vision. To go and change the world in their way. Now, we as individuals, we have the ability to go and change our world to the best of our ability. But it's not going to happen if you don't want to put the work in. Okay, you know, there's a degree of laziness that is rampant, and it really, it's scary, because when you are given a unique opportunity to do something, I don't care what it is, but it's going to take you closer to your goals, and you know it. Why wouldn't you seize it? I can't tell you how often people come to me and they're looking for an opportunity. And, you know, being empathetic to people's, causes, sometimes, you know, we go as people that are looking to help others, we go and try to create these opportunities. But what transpires is that you do it and it's thrown back in your face because it wasn't packaged in the right wrapping paper with the bow and everything, the batteries are inserted and everything is there ready to go. You know, the reality is, if you're not hungry enough for something, you don't deserve the opportunity. Somebody else will take it, seize it, get it done. And that's the reality of it, right? And then that, I just wanted to touch on that because I see this too often. And it's just a scary proposition where there's this entitlement that people feel they're entitled to success, they're entitled to wealth, they're entitled to growth, they're entitled to happiness, they're entitled to all this stuff. But if you are not seizing it, if you're not working towards your success and your goals, it's not going to happen. Okay, if you are not working towards your happiness, it's not going to happen. If you're depending on someone else for your happiness, for your success, to achieve your goals, then guess what? You are a sheep waiting to get slaughtered, and that is the truth. So, you know, again, I took the beginning of this show to go over that because something's been irking me over the past couple of weeks, and this is it. It just really is mind-blowing to see how many times a person can be given a golden opportunity, but it requires work, and they're afraid of it. If you're afraid of it, go work for someone. You know, lower your bar. Don't think that you're going to achieve wealth because it's not going to happen. But you can go work for someone. You can be a worker bee. And there's nothing wrong with that. You live your life like that. But don't expect someone else to go and make your dreams happen and hand it to you on a silver platter. Okay? That doesn't happen that way. All right? You know, and furthermore, as I'm going to gear the show towards digital assets and crypto because there are a lot of things going on there. I just want to close out here that it's interesting that, and especially now what's happening in the United States and globally, you have, you know, some people don't understand, you know, they think that, you know, the big banks are, or big brokerage firms are evil, and things should be given, and everything should just happen. And again, going back to the beginning of the show, right? But I'm talking on a bigger scale. You know, the reality is, and this is what you need to take from this, as far as on a financial front and as far as how the world should work, capitalism is fantastic. What's the alternative? Socialism? Communism? I'll take capitalism 25 hours a day, 7 days a week, 250 million days a year, if I could, because that's the only system that can make freedom happen, can make individuality happen. You know, basically, and I guess, you know, when you're looking at human rights, capitalism, that makes it possible in actual practice. Rand said that, and it's so true. And I think that, you know, people should look at what's in front of you, and again, seize your opportunities. Go get it. It's not going to be done for you. Fight for it if you want it. If you want it. And I see so many young people doing that, and I love it. It's inspiring. But then I see so many young people not doing it and waiting for it to happen, and that's sad. And hopefully that changes. Anyway, now I'm going to shift the discussion to what you really want to hear. You don't want to hear me ranting about these type of things. Cryptocurrency, digital assets, blockchain. You know, recently, the cryptocurrency, blockchain, as I said, you know, these are the building blocks for the future of finance. Zero question about it. You see more and more of this happening. You see how regulations and regulators are going to start loosening things up because they're beginning to understand what's in front of them. You know, you've had groups fighting for this for so many years, and now this stuff's actually happening. And probably one of the biggest catalysts is the monster in BlackRock pushing the initiative. And that was fantastic. Okay, you had the likes of Michael Saylor and MicroStrategy going and, I mean, putting it all on the line, my God, and going and doing that, and his belief in Bitcoin and everything is fantastic for him and basically for what they're doing in MicroStrategy. And now you have Tether, they linked up with SoftBank and with Strike to go and create this 21 group. Again, it's like a replication of MicroStrategy in a way. They're going to focus on and then also Cantor Fitzgerald is a part of that deal. Let me not forget that. They're the catalyst and all of that. But yeah, it's about creating products and everything for the Bitcoin network. The only thing is with the Bitcoin network itself, the blockchain, it's very slow. So how are they going to go about doing that? Maybe as a layer two, I don't know. You know, they have that Lightning Network thing going on. So we'll see with that. But my whole point in bringing that up is that it actually creates a catalyst to greater things. Because Bitcoin, the grandfather of it all, basically wasn't the first crypto to be created. It was the first successful one. Now you have a lot of other kids on the block that are doing some amazing things. And you're going to have a lot of value out there and the utility of it all. Okay, I do urge anyone out there, you're getting involved in digital assets, do me a favor, avoid these meme coins. Basically, you know, if you're going to take your money, go to Vegas, something, you know, you're going to get, the possibility of you getting hurt is tremendous. Rug pull scams, this and that, they're not real. What do they do? What do they do? What do they do? Nothing. Focus on utility. Focus on where the real value is. And if you do that, then you come out ahead in the long haul. So look, Morgan Stanley, what they're planning to do, they're planning to offer crypto trading to E-Trade clients. That is huge. That basically all their E-Trade clients will have the ability and access to crypto, to digital asset trading, crypto trading. That's going to change a lot of things, and I'm telling you that, with a few of the things that I'm going to go over in a minute, that's going to impact Robinhood. There's no question. Okay, now BlackRock, they're making a push to bring blockchain into traditional finance. They have a $150 billion treasury fund that they're looking to tokenize, I guess, and put it out there. It's an interesting thing, and honestly, it is going to be the norm. The tokenization of real-world assets, the tokenization of securities, you know, this is going to be a key element in the coming years. And again, those that aren't familiar with it, they should be, those that don't understand it, they should try to understand it. You're going to need to, because you're going to be in the mix whether you like it or not. Now, Charles Schwab, again, they are also gearing up for crypto trading. I mean, you know, the CEO basically put it out there, letting the world know that they're looking at a huge green light, and they're ready to rock and roll and get things done. Okay, now think about it. If E-Trade clients have access to trading, Charles Schwab, Fidelity, okay, and a few other firms, Goldman Sachs, right? Goldman Sachs. Now they're doing stuff in this space too. So if they start doing this too, that means that their clients are going to have access to crypto trading. That is going to impact the likes of Robinhood, because they are not a Morgan Stanley. They are not a Charles Schwab. They're not a Goldman Sachs. So that can actually potentially hurt them long term. I like what they're doing. However, you know, it's hard to compete in a space when somebody's taking chunks, because if you have a client, they're with you because you offer crypto trading. But now they're a client of Goldman Sachs or E-Trade. Well, they can do it there too. Well, they're going to want to do it there more than likely. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting dynamic. We're going to see how things go with that. But it just shows how digital assets have come to the mainstream, are coming into their own. And it's going to be an amazing journey. And I look forward to seeing what the rest of this year is going to bring. And I think it's going to be pretty, pretty cool. All right. Now, I also want to speak about something that, again, is in line with what I was just speaking about with tokenization. Now, the tokenization of real-world assets, you hear about it. You know, some groups are creating NFTs so that it can represent art, it can represent a piece of real estate and things of that nature. You have to be careful with that stuff. Okay, you know, because when you're talking about, you know, say an NFT is representing even though you have smart contracts, everything else, it's like saying, okay, I have a piece of art on my wall, I'm going to tokenize it. Or I have a Rolex watch, I'm going to tokenize that too. I tokenize it, you're buying the token. I have the physical, right? Where's the physical? Okay, do I have to go and put that in a vault? Probably not. If you're just putting it out there, you may have to get an appraisal and attach it there, you know, and the NFT buyer may have some legal rights, right? They should have legal rights for that item and they should buy it. Okay, the issue is that how do you authenticate it? Someone can forge documents and do that type of thing. So that's where the fear should come a little bit. Because unless you're dealing with a reputable house, let's say if a reputable auction house should do it, okay, then, okay, I get it. They have it there. You have to trust it to that point, right? You have to. They get the appraisals, they get everything done for you. But other than that, you know, individuals going out there, small groups that are, you know, doing this stuff, just gets a little dangerous, because if the real world asset isn't real and you have it, you have the NFT or you have that token, what are you doing with it? You know, you wind up not in a good place. All right. Now, there's other ways to tokenize real world assets, and that's with real tokens, right? With other tokens, not NFTs, with fungible tokens. You know, as I said, you know, with the NFTs, just because, you know, they say it's there doesn't mean it's there. But with the tokens, the fungible tokens, I believe that there should be some type of guardrails there, right? If you are tokenizing something, and it's whatever it is, and it's a real world asset, it should. If it's a real estate property or something, you should have some proof of this there. All right. Other assets, how do you prove it? You know, I think that you know, the verification part, you know, it's hard to take place. It's hard for that to take place. You can submit documents and everything and do the research, but it doesn't mean that, you know, that product's going to be there if you wanted to redeem it for it. And some of these NFTs are not redeemable, so how does that work? But I believe that these tokens should have a backstop with securitization from other assets. All right, let me explain what that means. All right, XMG FinTech, they're doing just that. Okay, they, you know, you have tokens such as the USXM token, which is a stable coin. Okay, it's not just something that's issued la-di-di-la-di-da. This is something that is backed by reserves, right? Now, the pricing of that token is pegged to a, that one is pegged to the US dollar, okay? And dollar moves, that moves, and that's, you get transparent pricing on it, right? So, and the ability to manipulate that is null. You can't manipulate it. And then, you know, there are other tokens in that series. You have the AUXM token and AGXM token. Now, the AUXM token is interesting because it represents, and it's pegged to the pricing of spot gold. It represents not only an opportunity for someone to get exposure to that market, it is also backed by reserves, and also over a period of time, it is convertible to the physical asset. So a person can take possession at some point in time in the future, but also not be trapped until that time comes, because, you know, they'll have the ability to swap out of it if they so choose. You know, the reason why this was done was because it was imperative to have tokens that do have correlation to real world assets, but also back them up at something. You know, so XMG FinTech, you know, they back the tokens that they have with Piku Coin reserves initially. Okay, so that means on a dollar for dollar basis, the USXM is backed by Piku Coin reserves, right? And then you have the AUXM and AGXM, where AGXM represents, you know, the pricing of spot silver. Those tokens are backed on a dollar for dollar basis, but more so is backed twofold. So basically, for every dollar in value is backed twofold, two times, by Piku Coin reserves, and that is done to prevent any slippage from happening if the Piku pricing should come down. And with those tokens, this is where it gets even further interesting, that there's an accumulation factor of the real world asset of the metals that will also back the token. So they have to be there so that, you know, that gets accumulated over time, so that if someone of an institution, of course this is, you know, for institutions. Okay, does that mean that individuals can't get involved? Yeah, they can get involved, but they have to go through an institution in order to have their redemption possibility. And that's how that works. Okay, this is not so much for individual investors. You know, it's more so for institutional. But there are ways for them to do it. You know, so anyway, accumulating the metals keeps things there so that, you know, over time, the institutions can actually swap the tokens, the RWA tokens, for the actual physical asset, and that is pretty different, right? You have tokens out there that represent various types of commodities, but, you know, it's just a trading vehicle. This is much more than that. This is much more than that. And I, you know, that was, to me, that is what makes it viable, what makes it so much different. Because having the ability to feel somewhat comfortable knowing that you're accumulating a token. You can actually, you want to go and have that physical product at some point in time, but you're not tied down. So if you wanted to go and, you know, trade your token out for something else, you could, or you hold it for the duration and you convert it for the actual physical asset. So that's the cool part about it. It gives people options, right? So as I said, the tokenization of real world assets is going to continue to rise, okay, with, again, the likes of Goldman Sachs and BlackRock, and I'm telling you, Morgan Stanley is going to wind up doing this. You're going to have a lot of different financial institutions tokenizing, you know, putting these physical assets and stocks and bonds and these strategies and everything and putting it on the blockchain. Now, does that mean that they're going to go and have it on Ethereum or something? No, I mean, they can have it on their own private blockchain. It's about keeping things organized and transparent, you know, so they'll work within whatever groups they're going to work with. And, you know, you look at Ripple bought a prime brokerage that just got their securities brokerage license. They're going to be able to trade, right? So that's going to be interesting. You know, they're going to be able to integrate their technology into this firm and do something. They even went and made a bid for Circle for almost $5 billion. They were turned down. However, that shows you the path that they're going. And you see Tether, you know, what they've done with the 21 Group and aligning with Cantor Fitzgerald. And that makes sense because Cantor Fitzgerald basically does a majority of their treasury buys and trading. So it makes sense for that to happen. So, you know, we're going to see a lot of things evolving, and I look forward to it because it's going to be an interesting journey, and I believe that, again, people should be educated in this space because you're not going to have a choice. It's coming at you, okay? It's like when people fought the car. They fought the automobile. They fought the TV. It's a fad. People even fought the internet. Oh, it's going to disappear. If you see footage from way back when, it's a fad. No one's going to use it. We can't live without it. There would be no Netflix without it. So, point is, embrace the future, embrace blockchain, embrace cryptocurrency, embrace the future of finance because it's here and it's only going to grow. I want to thank you guys for tolerating me. For this show, I'm going to come back to you with some more insights into what's going on, because I think that this is going to wind up, you know, probably dominating the show because there's so much to talk about and we have so little time. But anyway, thank you for tuning in, and we'll be back with you on the next episode of Money Never Sleeps.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
You're listening to UCW Radio in your face.
What is your major malfunction?
So let it be written. So let it be done.
Ladies and gentlemen, my mother thanks you. My father thanks you. My sister thanks you. And I thank you.
The views and opinions expressed on Money Never Sleeps Radio are for informational purposes only and should not be construed as financial advice. The host Louis Balavkev and guests of Money Never Sleeps Radio are not licensed financial advisors, and any investment decisions made based on information presented in this podcast are at the listener's own risk. Listeners are encouraged to consult with a qualified financial advisor or investment professional before making any investment decisions. The podcast hosts and guests do not endorse or recommend any specific investment strategies or products. All investments involve risk, and past performance is not indicative of future results.